if you've missed anything, or I really appreciate Dan and Julie, the things they do for our electronic presence out on the World Wide Web, or whatever you want to call it. But Dan had made the suggestion, this whole series, because we're going through what we believe as a specific church, and so he's going to probably put that on our website in just a section. And so if you're talking to people and they want to know the things that we believe specifically as a church, that'll be in its own section, and they can go through and see how weird your pastor is or whatever. But and Wednesday nights, we'll continue going through this slowly. We're a little ways behind, but it's not just because it's me leading it, because that's nothing about it. I really think we're having some great discussion and going deeper. This is the fire hose. We just kind of do the general thing, and then we get to the specifics. And so let's look today. Like I said, we got two more weeks, and it's kind of interesting. Last week dovetails right into this week. We're talking about religious liberty and that what the Bible says about that. And so let's look at our official article, you know, but God alone is the conscience, and he has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are contrary to his word, are not contained in it. Church and state should be separate. The state owes to every church protection and full freedom in the pursuit of its spiritual ends. In providing for such freedom, no ecclesia, whatever, I had it, who cares, group or denomination should be favored by the church, by the state more than others. Civil government being ordained of God, it is the duty of Christians to render loyal obedience thereto in all things not contrary to the revealed will of God. The church should not resort to the civil power to carry on its work. The gospel of Christ contemplates spiritual means alone for the pursuit of its ends. The state has no right to impose penalties for religious opinions of any kind, and the state has no right to impose taxes for the support of any form of religion. A free church in a free state is the Christian ideal, and this implies the right of free and unhindered access to God on part of all men, and the right to form and propagate opinions in the sphere of religion without interference by the civil power. So we're talking about religious liberty or religious freedom. The older I get, I love Norman Rockwell. I really do. Those are still on Facebook, us older ones. That's one of my pages, and it'll bring up a lot of different... I love Norman Rockwell because I like more... Believe it or not, I wanted to go into art, but I didn't have the talent. But I clipped out of 9 hours of arts and humanities, so I've got the knowledge, okay, whatever. But what I like about Norman Rockwell is he does really very detailed, realistic paintings, but he really captures life and the real stuff. And he's just fun, a lot of them. His swimming hole series where kids are out there, this is before all you all, don't do this, pastor will get in trouble, but skinny dipping or chunky dunking, all right, whatever it is. But the pictures that he has of the kids getting caught and they're running away and the dog's always faster. Anyway, go to Norman Rockwell, you'll enjoy it. But this picture, each according to his dictates of his own conscience, really sums up what we're talking about today, the freedom to worship. This is not an American thing, but even like last week, the more we get into what we believe, it's not about being an American church or in America. Our country is not perfect, but the reason it's lasted so long to this point is because regardless, the majority of our founding fathers believed that the Bible was the base. Again, we can't dictate Christianity. But the blessings that we have and the rest of the world have is because these founding fathers realized the sinfulness of man, three branches of government, whether they work or not, was accountability because man is sinful. And this is a God-given right that is sown into our Constitution. I'm not talking about our Constitution. I'm not talking about America. But this is a perfect picture of what that should look like. If you look closely to the picture or look up his stuff, you wouldn't agree with some of those because you know they might be a false way not to God. But yet, God does not create robots, and God gives us a choice, and we're going to talk about religious liberty today. We struggle to understand it. We struggle to have it. We struggle to protect it. We struggle to be free. We struggle to worship. We can choose to ignore our freedom to worship, which in America, we are free to worship. In the Bible, most of the believers weren't free to worship. In the majority of the world today, there are now more people suffering for their faith, and there are more people coming to Christ outside of the United States under conditions where they are not free to worship. We can choose America to ignore our freedom to worship. I am thankful for that because I can speak at this point without getting in trouble for it in the sense from the government or being censored. And even if that happened, there's other places we can go and there's other things we can do to be free in worship. We can ignore our freedom to worship or we can worship freely. And your action step today is worship freely. And it's going to spell out the word free because L-Y, you just want me to add extra points and I stay longer. I was bringing in one of my collectibles, not one of my toys today, and it was a lunchbox. You know, David Hunter, I was saying, look, I brought my lunch. And he goes, well, how long is the sermon going to be today? Well, there wasn't anything in it, and I didn't have a thermos. But anyway, we won't get into that. But the bottom line is this from the statement that I read. The church must be free to fulfill its gospel ministry as assigned by Christ. It must fulfill that ministry without interference or assistance from the state. We'll get into that a little bit because we don't like the interference. We've got to be really careful about that assistance. Because when the state assists us, then we owe the state something. At its core, we are created for freedom. So let's talk about this belief. Yes, we're going to get into some scriptures, but I need to go over some stuff. It's belief. Every human is created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. He made them male and female in the image of God. So there is no person that is not of worth here today. Because you're the only thing in creation that God has given a soul. You're the only thing in creation that is made in His image. And you're the only thing in creation that Christ has died for, buried, and risen again so you can have a relationship. So regardless of what society's told you or individuals have told you, you are created in the image of God and you have value. So therefore, you possess full rights and freedom granted by the Creator. And these are inalienable rights. The natural and fundamental and right of every, because reading my handwriting, leave me alone, right of everyone to worship God or not. It's not an American thing. You have the right to worship God or not. I want to help you, Christians. We are to share the gospel. But we deliver the mail. I think somehow, somewhere, whether we want to say it or not, I got to make them come to Christ. Really? We're not really thinking it, but we just deliver the mail. They need to know the choice that they need to make, but they have to make the choice. And that is freedom of religion. It's natural because we're made in the image of God. It's fundamental to worship God or not, each according to the dictates of his conscience, as that picture showed. And so this gives us the right of free and unhindered access to God. Free, unhindered. The right to form and propagate our opinion without interference by the government. Again, we have more brothers and sisters that are in jail because the government, because let me put it this way, in countries where God's not popular in the sense of they're being hugely controlled, when it's amazing how God changes a society when he gets a hold of it. And so that when God's in control, which we know God is in control, but man has to choose to let God be in control of their individual life, governments that are trying to be controlling and basically legislate or control God out of it, that is not a good thing. This is true religious liberty that all true freedoms come from. It is freedom from sin. We need to understand this. There's a lot of people that live free, and we're benefited here to live free because of the way our country was formed. But that true freedom, we'll get into in a minute, only really starts from when we're free from sin and we choose a relationship with God. So your first film, because this liberty comes from God, religious liberty doesn't come from the government. Freedom is a gift from God. Yes, I understand our American history. I am thankful for it. I understand why in this country I am able to stand here today. But beyond America, beyond any country created by man, only true freedom comes from God. And that's why we can be free regardless of what and how our country is organized. Because freedom is a gift from God, we are held accountable alone to God for all religious beliefs and practice. So you may say, well, hey, Pastor said I have the choice and I'm free to choose God or not. Yes. God, I do not believe God makes you do anything. But what we've forgotten in our society is, guess what? The choices you make, one day there will be judgment. And one day the choice you make, while you're free to make it, and it's not God strong-arming you. He created you to choose him or not, but there are consequences either way. You're created for and given a choice, and you have free will, and God has foreknowledge. In some of our churches today, we're kind of putting out the fact that God does it all. So what does that do to the gospel? And for we don't know who God's going to save. We're told to go. God doesn't make the choice for you, but he knows the choice you're going to make. But you are responsible for whether you accept Christ or not. And if you say, I didn't know, well, you're here today. And if you've been here any amount of time, you can't say that. Because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you wait till that day, it's too late. As long as it does not infringe on the rights of others. So you can make, see, here's the thing. What we're doing with the society now is I can, and we all think this is new. You go to the Roman Empire, go and read the whole Bible. Man is just rehashing. It was pretty bad in the times of the New Testament. So this is nothing new under the sun. We're just being a little bit more creative on how we do it with technology or whatever. But a lot of people would say, and we're teaching children to do this, well, they'll figure it out. You know, it's not about brainwashing children, but you need to show them the way to go. And yes, they're going to have to make that choice, but you need to bend them towards God so they know where to go. Because if not, society's doing it. And society is saying, do whatever you want, have your children do whatever you want. That's anarchy. And so if one person says it's okay to just take life and take a life and no repercussions, what does that do for the rest of society? You are free to choose. You are free to worship God or not, as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of others. Now, we could get in a debate where some people would say some of the choices that we stand for are infringing on the rights of others. Not trying to be mean, but the rights of the unborn are what we're called to stand for, to be the voice. God's really clear in James about that to deal with that. So that's just one example. God gives us freedom, which means real freedom is a choice. I want that to help you. We don't make anybody do anything. The older I get, it's harder for me to make myself do some things, okay? I was talking to Dan the other day. I wasn't planning this, but Dan, you guys always throw these dead pastors up to me. I listen to Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley. I'm not against them, but you know they're dead, okay? You're listening to them. I know their sermons, their dead sermons, still do better than me, okay? I don't know what Dan was saying, whether I need to lose weight or not, but he goes, you know, Charles Stanley would get up and exercise for 30 minutes to get his oxygen going so his brain was working good during the sermon. Well, Dan, I didn't do that, but I did good enough to get coffee, and I'm here. Okay, you know, I made the choice to get here, okay? I don't know what they had to do. I guess I'm just bitter, not better. But, you know, I chose not to get up early and to exercise so my oxygen would be working good, okay? Whatever. We're responsible for the choices we make, but we're free to choose. So I'm making a choice not to do that, okay? But maybe you'll pay for it because none of this will make sense. I don't know, but we will be responsible for those choices. While we are free to choose, the choices we make, like I said, have consequences. We're not free from the commandments and the doctrines of God's word. We are free from the dictates or commands of any other powers that go against God's word. So you're not free against what I present to you. It's not about what Russell's doing. You're not free from God's word. You may say, well, I don't believe in God. That's your choice. I'm not here to twist your arm. I don't want to make you into anything. You have to decide, is this true or not? But what we're talking about the last part, we are free from the dictates and commands of any powers that go against God's word. Daniel, the fact, and how did he end up in the lion's den? Because he had a government that was telling him not to worship and follow his God and pray to his God. And therefore, he was in jail and facing the death penalty. Daniel wasn't trying to be defiant, but when any government goes against God, go with God. Now, you might say, well, that's why we're fighting the power. Well, come on, we'll get into that in a minute, about being a good citizen of heaven and being a good citizen of whatever country you're a part of. We're not autonomous, so we go back to we're all free to choose whether we want to follow God or not. And we've learned about this word autonomous because we are Baptists and we're autonomous. That means nobody tells us what to do in that sense as a body. But that goes back to this individual belief that you individually have to make a choice whether you're going to follow God or not. We will one day have to answer for the choice that we make. We'll have to answer for our beliefs, our thoughts, and our words. I am saved by grace. I understand that. But there will be two judgments. And one, believers will all face the first judgment. It's not for God to put the screws in and make you feel bad, but what did you do with the time that you have? And was it a fragrant aroma? Was it 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about the love chapter on the pure things that you gave for God? Or were they things that were earthy or whatever? And the holy fire will hit that, and everything that is pure towards God will go up a fragrant aroma. And I've said this before, those things that were of the world will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. And some people will get into heaven smelling like they're in the smoking section. There's not a smoking section, but you know what I'm saying. That's the first judgment that all of us will face. But the second judgment is the one only those that choose not to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And so what we need to understand, we will answer for our beliefs. We will answer for our actions. We will answer for our thoughts. Now, I understand Christians, when we ask Christ's forgiveness, he says he casts our sins as far as the east is the west, and you don't need to go around in fear always like, did I do something I didn't think about? No. And it's not about living in fear. You're saved. But we need to think about why we're still here. We're to point to God. And so your next villain, to understand true religious freedom, we need to understand everyone is responsible for the choice they make. Where freedom to worship is a gift from God, real freedom is a choice, but you will answer for the choice that you make and the choices that you make. We can't truly live in freedom if we haven't been made truly free through the choice we make. True freedom can only be found through the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. We can only find true freedom when we truly worship in freedom, when we really find the truth. Christ is the only way to true freedom and true worship. There's a lot of people right now that are enjoying the freedoms that our country provides them. But only true freedom through the truth, the way, the life, Jesus Christ, can we live really free. Because when we embrace the truth, John 8:32 says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, that threw me off. I don't hardly ever look at the screen. It's like, okay, let's start singing here. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Notice I gave you John 14:6. I didn't give that to them. I quote it about every week, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's talking about Jesus. And when you know the truth, Jesus, guess what? The truth, Jesus, will set you free. So to be set free from sin. And so what happens, the result of that, John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, I remember indeed, you really will be free. See, we got a lot of people, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I am thankful. I don't like a lot of the things I see in America, but I'm glad these people have the freedom to express themselves. Because you know what? That gives me the freedom to express myself. And so we're never going to be free till we find Christ, the truth. And when we receive Christ, then we're really free, and then we can go forward. That may be where you're at today, but and you may say, hey, the pastor's done, but no, we're going to unpackage this because here's your other point. So don't pack up the lunch yet, okay? To worship in true freedom means everyone can only be free in Christ. That's your next point. Everyone can only be free in Christ. How's that fleshing out in your life? You may say, Pastor, I believe that, but are you living it to the point where you understand there's a lot of people that are acting like they're free, but they're not truly free? Once we choose Christ, what's next? How do we live it out? So we're going to talk about the application here for a little. How do we do this? How do we worship? How do we pursue God freely? Being a living sacrifice, first of all. I'm talking now to Christians. You're saved. You're starting on that path of freedom. You go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, therefore, be a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable act of service that you offer yourself up. About every invitation, I may not quote the verse, but we're in Luke saying, take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow him. Problem with the living sacrifice is it can crawl off the table. That's your yes, Christian. That's you saying, God, you're in control. I'm in the back seat. Whatever happens. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't consciously make that decision every day and the morning's good, you're not going to do it or you're going to go through most. Siri, I can't stand you sometimes. I never figure out what goes on and off there. But if you don't make that conscious decision every day, you'll be following yourself, Christian. You've got to do it. You'll get off that table. So the verse that they share in this is 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. For kings, for all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Pray for everyone, leaders and those who are in authority. Now, in our men's group, it hadn't been a while, we found some scripture to pray for people. Some of it, may their days be few. Not that we want them to die, okay? But their days running something, whoever it is, if they're going against God, may their days be few, you know, in the sense of their leadership. I'm not doing the hit list there, okay? So we need to pray for everyone, leaders and those in authority. How's that go for you when you got a bad boss? Or someone that you have to answer to. And then you need to pray for them. Don't worry about, it's hard, don't worry about what they're doing. It's amazing how when you pray for people, it might start changing you. And he says, lead a tranquil, a peaceful, a quiet life of godliness. That means you're not perfect, but they can see God in you by your actions and attitudes because you're trying to follow God. You respect God by following God. And a life of dignity, of honor, of purity. People are watching that, and people are redefining what dignity and honor are. You can't go with their definitions. You need to go with the scripture. God's definition of honor. Dignity. Notice this, a quiet life. It means what it says. It doesn't mean that you don't have fun and do stuff, but it's like it's not about me. It's about him. I mean, there's enough drama in the world. What does that say to a lost person that has all this, us as Christians have all this stuff beating in on us? And what does that say when they see someone that is consistently peaceful and tranquil, not perfect? They're asking the question, what is going on in their life that I don't have because I need it? A quiet life, a peaceful life, a free life. A free church in a free state. I talk about our church, I think of meat and potatoes. A lot of us grew up when we knew what real dinners were. You'd sit down. There was a vegetable, there was a meat, maybe a dessert, I don't know. That was kind of debatable, but you got a full meal. And, you know, if I was on an island, I have my survival list. I would want duct tape, a Bible, potatoes, because you can do anything with potatoes. And I'm not even talking about making vodka. I'm talking about, not that I knew that, but anyway, but yeah, maybe I could power my engine with through the vodka to get off the island. I don't know, but anyway, I've seen too many Gilligan's Islands. But a potato, you can make a lot of stuff. You can make donuts with leftover mashed potatoes. I've thought about this for a while, okay, for no reason, okay? But when you have meat and potatoes, a lot of us remember, hey, I'm going to their house and we're having roast and gravy. And some of you are getting grossed out and you just need to get saved. Okay? Roast, gravy, mashed potatoes. And you come out of that house and you're like, oh, that's filling. Go back to the description of the scripture that we met. I think of our church that way. No offense. There's nothing hopefully fancy about me, and there's nothing fancy about our church, but it has substance. Not because it's anything about us, but go back to that verse. It's attractive because people are getting fast food spirituality instead of that lasting, filling stuff that meat and potatoes will give you. There you go. Just go for it. Yeah, you have to testify on that, okay? Because we are the citizens. Why is this? Why do we act this way? Because Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever think I'm not proud to be a citizen of the United States, I am. And every time I'm a place that I see him honor our veterans and people that gave us that right, I am proud of our country. So if you ever think I'm not, I'm not. But you know what? The U.S. used to not exist, and one day it won't exist. Oh, Pastor, I mean, just think about it. All countries will cease to exist. And if your citizenship is not a citizen of heaven first, and you're thankful for wherever you're at, that's second. And we, first and foremost, I am thankful for my American citizenship, but I don't care when it compares to my citizenship to heaven. That's the top passport I need through Jesus Christ. And so we are to be, so if we're citizens of heaven, we're to be salt and light. We're to shine in dark places just because we're, some of you remember, we're glowworms. And we're not supposed to just glow, but we are to shine. We shine on darkness just by our presence that, hey, maybe that's not right. And then salt, I'm thinking of Julie today. She was almost asleep there. But I'm thinking of Julie today. Poor girl, can't hardly have any, no salt. And let's be honest, salt substitutes, that's just of the devil, okay? But here's the deal. What it is, I think, is white sand. And they're just putting it in a jar. So anyway, we won't get it out. But here's the deal. You know something when somebody cooks something, and I don't put salt on hardly anything, and it's not because I'm trying to be healthy, even though Dan's trying to get me to exercise before church. But here's the deal. Do you notice, though, when something just tastes bland and then you put a little bit of salt in it, because most stuff has salt in it, but when you're cooking something at home and you put a little bit of salt, it just pops that flavor out. That's you, Christians. We're to bring the flavor. Psalm says, taste and see, for the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You're to bring God out in society so they can taste him and they can see that he is good. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anyone but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Good works. We don't do them because to be saved, to stay saved, but because we are saved. And I think of the mission that we do every week. I think of the things that we do. And I'm not trying to brag on us. I'm just trying to make it personal. If we don't give a reason why we do it, we're patting their back and saying good luck as they're on the way to hell. But we try to give a reason. We give you food, we give you clothing, because Christ has given this to us. Eternal food, eternal clothing of righteousness, and we want that for you. We are to use our freedom in Christ to reflect Christ. See, a lot of people, like, I'm free, but we need to reflect Christ in that freedom. I'm free. Yeah, I could act like you. I could do these things, but I don't use my freedom to sin. I don't use my freedom to hurt others. I use my freedom to reflect Christ. Part of living this life is protecting religious liberty, the freedoms to choose to be wrong or right. See, yeah, if you looked at that picture, we'll look at it here in a little bit again. There's a lot of different beliefs there. And we're not saying we agree with them, but I want you to understand, if we say one person can't be free, and it's not about America, we have the right to be wrong. We have the freedom to choose God or not. But if we say a certain group can't, then what about us? And then we're making them be Christian. Or we're making them, instead of saying, look. And what does that do for your conversations with the people you're interacting with? Where you say, you've got to do this. You're going to do this. I want to go the other way. But when you say, yeah, I understand that. This is what I believe. And there will be a choice to make, but you're free to make that choice. How, does that get the gospel a little further in their lives? We have to protect this for everyone. It's not an American thing. I'm thankful that we can do it in America, but we need to protect people to freely choose God or not so that they can get towards choosing God. Recognizing the very nature of humanity, how we are created to respect this right. No government has the right to claim a coercive power over any individual's conscience in the matters of faith and religious belief. God wants free worshipers. He doesn't want robots. And again, like I said, not an American thing. I'm thankful that it's a God-given right, and it's a right we have in America, and it's what we're founded on, and that we enjoy it. But we have the right, again, to be wrong. It's freedom of religion. In our freedom, we're called to respect authority. Oh, here we go. You go to Matthew 22:21, Caesar's. They said to him, and they were asking Jesus, you know, they were looking at a coin and say, they were basically saying, hey, do we pay taxes or not? And Jesus said, look, whose face is on that? Well, it's his, so give it back to him, is basically Jesus what said. And he said, give then to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. And apparently the IRS needed a little bit more stuff when I got that letter the other day. Okay, whatever. This freedom leads to separation of church and state. Now, you need to hear me really clear on this one. We are getting this messed up in America, and we're using it to persecute Christians. And so we need to understand, we believe in separation of church and state. We were founded, the Pilgrims, and in our Baptist heritage, they were in countries where there was only a state church. And if you were not a part of that state church, you were persecuted, and in some places even to the point of death. So that's why the Pilgrims came over here. And by God's sovereignty, they didn't land where they were supposed to, and they developed a free community based on religious liberty. Based on the Bible. And we need to understand that. We hear separation of church and state, and then we think the church needs to shut up and Christians need to shut up. No, 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 no. We're talking about the state doesn't sponsor a church and the state doesn't control a church. This freedom leads to separation of church and state. So it's free. It's not freedom from a religion. It's freedom of religion. Free to be wrong or not. Free to worship or not. The separation protects both the church and the state. And Baptists have always been about that. Today, the true meaning has been changed and lost and often translated, not separating, but excluding all religious beliefs and expressions from the public square. It's okay if you express yourself, but I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Because I'm not against race. I try not to see color, so I'm not even talking about race. But I feel in America, if you're white, old, and believe in Jesus, shut up. In the public square. Well, one, Jesus wasn't white, and Jesus was in the public square, And it's not about color. It's not about male or female. He died for all of us, and that's the way I feel too. Amen. So I want you to understand, I'm saying this, what's happening today is you're being excluded from the public square. Everyone else can talk, but you shut up. We must hold to the principle that the church is independent of the state. We must insist that the state is not hostile to the church so we can freely participate in public life of our nation. The state owes every church protection and full freedom in the pursuit of its spiritual ends. I am not talking just about Bible-believing Christian churches. Those that we don't agree with, I want us to understand this. You have the right to be wrong. You have the right to choose whether to worship God and whether we agree with these false things that are not about God. We better protect their right or we'll lose ours. It's not about agreeing. It's not about going on. This is a fundamental right to choose God or not. So the state owes every church protection and full freedom in the pursuit of its spiritual ends. No church is preferred over another. This is how we were founded, because churches were preferred in other countries and freedom of religion. Christians must be free to bring their biblically informed understanding of moral truth to the nation's public policy. Oh, now he's getting political. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. This is another lie. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about the fact, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Oh, about gender, about life. And it's not about us as Baptists, but I'm glad that some of the money that we put in the plate goes to people that go to Washington and say, look, this is what God's word says, and we're going to stand for that. Because, guys, we're in a country where we can speak up, and we're not. And it's important. It's important to do this. And so that's why religious liberty is important, that regardless of whether we agree with each other, we need to be able to speak up. Regardless of whether that it irritates us when we hear other opinions, we need to be free to have these conversations. And this is the problem. We're not talking to each other one-on-one. Not against social media, not against the phone. It's neutral, but we're fast-forwarding. We're more into our phone. We're more into online being bullies, and you never say that to that person's face. And I'm not against the younger generation. We have got wonderful people in the younger generation, but you will go far if you learn to look somebody in the face and talk to them and have a conversation. And I know it scares us all to death, but the biggest problem that Satan is using is we're not talking to each other. And we need to have that conversation in the public domain. We need to have that conversation individually. Religious liberty also requires that Christian citizens obey the government and its laws. So we can speak up against those things, but we need to also obey the laws. And Romans 13:1 says, let everyone submit to governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. And in America, if we feel our authorities are going against God, we can speak up. We can elect and we can vote. And most of all the other countries in the world can't do that to the extreme that we can. So the problem is we're not doing it. But we're being political. Well, let me help you with this. You're in a country where you are free to vote and change things. There you go. Meaning the government serves God by requiring obedience to the law and respect for authority. And if those laws are wrong, change them. If those laws go against God, then go with God. Therefore, the government has the right to, to tax, and has the responsibility to maintain and protect its citizens. Nobody wants to pay taxes. How'd you get here today on that road? Nobody wants a cop to pull them over, but we like cops to take care of the bad people that could hurt us. Well, who do you think pays for that, and how does it happen? Nobody wants to go through a fire or emergency services, but in its purity, those are good things for the taxes to go to. The other stuff, leave me alone. you know what I'm saying. But those are how God designed to take care of a society. The bottom line is this: the church must be free to fulfill its gospel ministry as assigned by Christ, and must fulfill that ministry without interference or assistance from the state. What we so as we get ready to close here, what should we? I'm reading my handwriting here. What should we strive for? All freedom we need to choose. I'm just ignoring that because I obviously wrote it wrong. Okay. Look at the picture. We want to say that's an American thing. Yes, it's Norman Rockwell, and it was a picture of America, and it's a beautiful picture, but I want you to understand this. God designed that. He wants all to be saved and none to perish. He wants you to choose Him. He will not make you choose Him. But if we don't protect the freedom that people can freely worship to find God, that's not how He's created us. So I've got a question for you today and during this season. Do you recognize that your freedom is a gift from God? You might be, I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, I'm going to tell you today, that is a gift from God. And do you realize that your real freedom is a choice? And you might say, well, I didn't say I'm against God. Well, if you're either with God or you're not. And during a time of invitation, you may need to come forward. You may need to see me afterwards. But if you were to die today and face eternity, where would you go? Well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. I'll give you that. That's your right. But there's a lot of people here that I respect that have taken a lot of time to get that the reason they're sitting here is they met God. And they believe in God. And there's a lot of people sitting here today that are way smarter than me. That they're not ignorant, they're not dumb, they don't believe in fairy tales. They met God! And so what I'm telling you right now, I love you, and I'm not mad of you, but you can choose not to accept God, but you can't say that you've never heard. Choose God. And you will be responsible for the choice that you make. And then how free are you living, Christians? Some of you may be struggling with things, having things go in your life, and you're letting Satan encroach on you, and you're like, I'm going way back, but I've mentioned it before. You go back to Mayberry, and you go back to Otis, the town drunk, and he would just go into the cell and shut the door, and it wasn't even locked because he was drunk all the time, so he'd go in there and sleep it off, you know, and on the Andy Griffith Show. That's a lot of us Christians sometimes in some areas. We're not living free. We're choosing to not open the cell of whatever little section of our life and walk out in the freedom of Christ, that you're saved, that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the question I have for you today, are you worshiping God freely? And you might say, well, we stood up here and we sang and we did all that stuff. This is just part of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about being a living sacrifice. It's talking about taking up your cross daily, denying yourself and following Him. Are you worshiping God